If you ever want to try chicken feet.
No.
Hey folks, welcome back to Skeleton House. I'm Brett, and this is an audio-only Let's Play podcast where we listen to my two friends, Jess and Steve, play video games, and I edit them, add context, and act as your eyeballs. Oh, that was better than last week. Thomas is still missing, and weirdo, eccentric billionaire Harry has told us to go check out the graveyard for more clues for the case. And in between the end of last episode and the beginning of this episode, we've decided to go to Brian the Insomniac's house in town and use the key that he gave us in exchange for finding all those bones that we're stirring about. So let's go check out what's in there.
Is it the spooky house?
It's the spooky house. That's the spooky house. It's got all the dead trees. Ah, and they just get deader as you come around. As you Tokyo drift around the corner.
Brian has a big ornate gate leading up to his property. His house is like a spooky mansion like you would see in a Goosebumps episode where, like, a spooky person lives there, but it turns out they're actually a good guy. That's the twist, like, 75% of the way through. The path leading up to it is lined on either side with statues of gargoyles, and the gigantic yard has shrubs and dead trees all over it.
That is the gravedigger's house. This is pretty ornate, and from the sounds of it, he doesn't live there. He said it's in his backyard.
Do we get to go inside the house?
I have no idea. Because you want to go in?
Yes. I'm 100% going to try.
The door is firmly locked. Doesn't look like it's going to open. Yeah, this house is just aesthetic 100%.
No, it doesn't look like it. Not yet, at least.
Lame.
We wander into the backyard and then climb up a ladder that is on the side of his shed, and we end up on a balcony on the second floor of his house. It looks like pretty rickety wood, and there is a couple more gargoyle statues blocking our path.
Pretty sure you gotta push it off.
Yeah.
Not off?
Oh, whoa. Yeah, I'm pushing it off. That's just fun. Should I not push them off?
I have no idea. Fuck it. Go Dan's ladder.
Dum, 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 dum. Dum-dum-dum-dum. His fingers, like, unlatch.
Does it?
It's just not what I expected from this game.
Now that we've climbed down that second ladder, we're in another portion of the backyard, which is cut off from everything else by a wall of shrubs. This area has another gargoyle statue in the corner, and it looks like there might be something underneath it.
Whoosh.
I'm going, going.
Good, buddy.
It's kind of a locked animation, bud.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Number 50, Ghost House Treasure Completed.
What did he give you?
Ghost House Treasure Complete. I got a Wesley Special. Is it a flamethrower?
I don't know. I didn't get flamethrower, but it's infinite.
I'm gonna give it a try.
It is a flamethrower. Well, I'll be.
All of our problems are solved. I knew I shouldn't have bought that ammo.
Yeah, we just got an infinite ammo flamethrower from underneath the gargoyle at the gravekeeper's house. What kind of Castlevania bullshit is this?
Can I
flamethrower
burn...
won't solve everything.
Can I don't know, but if I can burn this lock off, it's gonna solve everything, I'm pretty sure, bud.
You still have to reload. We don't know how long reloading is gonna take.
Let's see.
It probably doesn't have that great a range.
Ba, 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 ba.
I mean, you should at least burn down the tree.
Ba, 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 ba.
That's pretty fast.
Problem solved. Thank you for taking me on this quest.
With that mission completed, we plan our next move.
Where to now?
What do you want to do?
Oh, let's go that one quest with the showing a picture.
Okay.
So we drive to Honest Tree and then start hiking up the path to get to the clearing.
The guy's like, bring me back all seven of my missing bones, and I'll give you a flamethrower that I hid in my backyard. I like them.
Certainly seems like the kind of thing that Brian the Insomniac would do.
Kinda, hey? Ooh, that was rats.
Those do appear to be rats.
That noise you can hear is Jess attempting to torch the rats with her new flamethrower.
They're gone.
Let's solve this problem. My handy-dandy flamethrower.
I don't know if anyone's actually here.
I don't think there is.
Wait, I think I saw someone.
No.
Oh, that's just the light. What if I burn the tree down? I guess not.
It's all that blood of the innocent thing. Makes it fire repellent.
We walk around for a bit and nobody shows up, so Steve ends up looking it up.
You have to go talk to Carol McLean.
Just anywhere, at any time?
Yeah. So Quest 12 and Quest 3 are intertwined. So you have to have started both quests to finish either one.
We put a pin in that one, and as we're driving around, we see a familiar face. Hey, remember how I said a couple episodes ago that we were done with roaming Sigourney? I lied.
Hey, Sigourney.
I'm glad you are here. My pot. It's getting cold. Please, let's get going.
Here we go again. But it's okay. I need to get to know more about the pot, after all.
Very well, then. Hurry up! Look! My pot is getting cold!
Zack, has she been roaming farther and farther away from her home? Is she testing us, perhaps?
Number 47, Cold Pot 4. Start.
Wow! Get the car going! My house is over by the lake. 3, 2, 1, go!
She is testing us. Testing my goddamn patience!
We speed along and only have one terrible accident where we end up flipping the car, but...
Stop the car!
You took too long.
Really?
Sigourney, what's wrong? Don't tell me.
It's exactly what you think. Thanks to your slow driving, my pot got cold.
Can we just...
You're just useless.
Can we win this one? I didn't even know there was a real time limit.
Me neither.
I give up, Zach. I also forgot to ask what's in the pot, too.
Number 47, Cold Pot 4. Failed.
Oh. Failed forever? Should I reload?
I don't know. When's the last time you saved?
Not long ago.
You should check first.
I don't think there is a way to check. It's either I do it or I don't. Because I can only go to the title screen.
Ah.
And then load it.
Eh, fuck it. Give it a go. Chapter 15. How many chapters are there?
So, you want to find out everything there is to know about Diane?
Wait!
Oh, no, don't be mad, Steve.
What?
I found the button to skip those scenes.
What is it?
It's plus.
Ah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's good. Now we have the button.
Indeed.
Sigourney is not there.
That's sad. Well. Such is loss.
One for three for side quests so far, but that's bound to change.
What do now, Steve? Caroline?
Carol, yeah. Just Carol.
Just Carol.
Carol. Carol. Carol!
That's such a bad show.
This is a bad joke. It is an absolutely terrible show.
Yeah, like, And they had such a good first season, though.
Oh, yeah. I was like, man, I want to see where this is going. And then I saw where it was going. And I was like, I am out.
It was just... it just kind of felt ridiculous.
I kind of want pizza from Formosa.
No, you don't. You hated it.
Yeah,
you hated it.
They do it wrong, like, almost every time.
Yeah, you hated it.
The center is always still fucking raw.
Don't do it.
I want tasty pizza.
No. But that's not tasty.
What I want is, like, a good tomato sauce. Like, no place in this fucking city has decent tomato sauce.
After pizza chat, we roll up to the graveyard.
Just as Harry said. It's crowded and quiet. Hey, Brian.
Agent. Mr. Agent, how are you?
Oh, not bad. I'm, just playing a little game with Harry.
Game? A game? Is that fun?
We've only just started, Brian. The fun is about to begin. I'd like to ask you something, actually. Is there a tree in the graveyard that drops red seeds?
Seeds? Red seeds? That tree does.
Is it the red tree?
And that one. and that one, too.
Are those all seeds in the ground?
I think so.
We pan over to about a half dozen red trees with seeds littered all over the ground.
The seeds are like blood.
Spook. Huh. Okay.
Also, the sky is currently a swirling mass of black and dark gray clouds.
I'm just gonna borrow his phone quick because it has spooky sky.
That's a good call. That's a good call. When you see spooky sky, you call someone.
Yep.
You call into the office and you say, "Hey y'all, I'm about to die.
Please tell Martha I love her."
Also, there are the zombie monsters.
Oh, dang.
Thankfully, they'll wait for you.
Listen, man. You're in for a bad time.
Remember that burning people might hug you.
I don't know. That would have required, like, more, animation.
After we torch this guy, we walk down the path a little bit, and the red vines pop up behind us to stop us from retreating.
It's gonna be all gross. Yep.
We make it through the monster gauntlet without too much trouble. This one's a little bit more difficult because the path is so narrow, and there are a bunch of the inky black spots that the monsters spawn out of, but we make it to the grove filled with the red trees.
Mission accomplished. Let's get back to Harry's.
York is kneeling in a pile of the red seeds with a mountain of them in his hands.
The reward better be good.
We got red seeds.
You know about these seeds? They were right here under my nose. It's as if I was carefully carrying a bottle of water while walking in a pool. We're learning the countryside version of common sense the hard way, Zach.
What?
We then immediately drive back to Harry's with no shenanigans. Although, if I made a supercut of Jess slamming into walls in the cruiser, I would have enough material for like an hour-long bonus episode already.
Mr. Francis York Morgan, finally you have arrived.
Dude, it's been less than an hour. So, or it's probably only been a few hours in-game.
He's rich, though. He's probably not used to having to wait for, like, anything. Oh, man, you can, like, hear the resentment there.
Ooh. Michael plays the secret piano note, and we make a beeline to Harry's room.
I didn't even listen to what that dude said. I just know I have to go talk to the old man. Oh, man, it's like he's just, like, a retail worker, and I'm a Karen. Like, going straight to the manager.
Well, we were busy looking at the menu, thinking about food. You're gonna have to go back.
Yeah.
The courtyard has a new statue puzzle. This time we got three statues sitting on, like, different parts of a 6x6 grid.
Man, this guy sucks.
Just
it's like, I'm fucking old and tired and
you know, he's just,
sad.
Like, watching you on the video feed, just, like, fucking stroking his dick.
Yep. Oh, okay, now we need a number.
We look at another music stand this time. It reads Piano Sonata number 14, Moonlight. Piano Sonata number 23, Appassionata. Piano Sonata number 26, Le Adieu.
14, 23, 26.
We start exploring some of the guest rooms again.
I got a can of pineapples on the toilet, but I'm going to eat them anyway. That's so weird.
Can of pineapples. These have to be glitches.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's so weird about infinite toilet pineapples.
Do you think that old guy would just be, like, really upset and weirded out if he just went and took, a sleep in one of his, like, guest rooms instead of, like, going to see him? Oh, man, what if that's, like, your Francis, response, though?
Yeah, just, like, that's my power move. I'm taking a nap. Do you remember what the numbers are?
13, 24, 26.
I think so, yeah. 14. 23, 26. I'm texting it to you.
Aww. We walk back to the courtyard and notice that along one side of the grid are tens numbers. So 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. I think that's what it goes up to. And along the other side of the grid are ones. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I think.
Oh, this says stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Okay, hold on. 14. Oh. So one has to go, like, here.
13.
Yeah. Oh, so one has to be here. Okay.
We're standing on the intersection of the 10 and the 3. Pushing the statues all along the board takes a bit of time, so I'm gonna chop and screw this. Alright, that was like 4 minutes of knowing the solution to the puzzle and just shoving stones across a board, but now the door is unlocked.
Just got a thing about making people do manual labor before visiting.
His suit's nicer than mine.
We then walk into another room to speak with Harry, but this time it's a lot fancier. There's a huge window all along an entire wall, and that window is overlooking a waterfall that's just outside, and there's a reflective marble floor. And a bunch more of the statues all around the room. York walks up to Harry and Michael, and he puts his fist out, and then opens his hand.
Fist bump. What? That is so dramatic.
What a prick.
The red seeds fall all over the floor.
Harry, turns out what you said was true. And I'd like to hear more.
To be fair, he made him move all those statues.
That's fair. Yeah, actually.
Harry motions to Michael, but instead of leaning down to listen to what Harry has to say to relay it, Michael instead starts fiddling with the metal protrusions on Harry's neck.
York, as you know, there's a powerful mystery surrounding these seeds.
It kind of sounds like
they've seen them at those other murders that took place elsewhere. And you've seen them deeply involved with the murders in this town as well.
That's right. But how do you know all this?
York, you must be younger than you look. Youngsters tend to hurry so much that they let things slip right past them. What you need to do is slow this down a bit.
No.
That was actually what's really important. Let me tell you a story. 50 years ago, when the war was over, just about when the communist dread started to become a rising threat, our town constructed a huge clock tower. Then, soon afterwards, a serial killer wearing a red raincoat went on a killing spree.
The legend of the raincoat killer? Stop playing games with me, Harry. That's nothing more than folklore. The FBI has no such record of multiple homicide cases in this town.
York, Anna, Becky, and now Diane. Their deaths are real, not folklore, not legend. The raincoat killer is also real. Under a strict gag order, the mass murder case was never made public. In fact, could say that it was completely erased from history. Tell me, who do you think would be able to do something like that?
The military.
Huh.
Very good. A model student.
What?
But if there are no records about it, then how do you know it really happened?
Good question, York.
Because he's from there?
Why would I know this? The answer is very simple.
Is he a robot? No!
No, he's not a robot.
No?
Oh!
What we need to talk about is your raincoat killer. The new raincoat killer, if you will. The new raincoat killer. Yes, let's call him that. After all, he's not the real one. What you want to know more about is the new...
Is this guy the old one? Super Soldier program?
Okay, it's worth a look. And we may as well let the old man have his fun.
I'm thinking Super Soldier program.
Huh.
We're like researching old folklore or legends or whatever.
Do you think that he killed someone has immortality and that's why he's been here for so long?
Maybe.
Also, why does the guy killing them shove a shit ton of immortality seeds down their throats?
I don't know. I know that Kaysen's carrying around a bunch of them and planting them around the country.
Documents from a case that happened 50 years ago. Let's play along with the old man for a little longer, shall we? Zach, that means we need to head for the sheriff's department.
It would be like... kind of cool if you started, like, tracking all the immortality seeds, and all the immortality seeds just, like, made them all into vampires, and then, like, the only way, like, to take out the,
By burning the first tree?
Oh, no, I was thinking by, using a magical forest called Hammond to
Hammond.
Yeah. Do you know? Like, kill them with Hammond power.
I have no idea what Hammond is.
It's JoJo. I'm pretty sure it's called Hammond.
Hamon energy koso sendou power. 私の波紋エネルギーはカエルの肉体を波紋となって伝わり岩を砕いたのだ。上場。
Oh man, if it's not called that, then I bet Brett's gonna interject to be like, it's actually this. It's actually this.
波紋エネルギ
ー。And then I'll be publicly shamed.
As you so deserve.
Yeah.
I know this is a take you probably heard 100,000 times on the internet, but JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is very good. I'm not really much of an anime guy, but it's a good show. My favorite part is part 5, I think.
Oh man, and like, fast forward like 20 years and Zach just becomes, York stand. Yeah.
Just fucking, why not? Why not just go full trash?
After the quick anime chat, we make it back to the sheriff's department.
Yeah, there's going to be all kinds of documents in these small towns that nobody's looked at.
We walk into the station and end up in George's office.
York, I told you, it's nothing more than local folklore.
Harry said that he was there.
The Rico Killer is a phantom made up to scare children long ago. I can't believe you fell for that from Harry, of all people.
I agree with George. Harry likes to play with people. Play with their minds, too.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a rich eccentric.
Emily.
Yeah.
Of course I don't believe him word for word. But you won't mind if I at least try to confirm he's wrong, will you?
Well then, can you look for the files by yourself? I'm still looking for Thomas.
Very well.
Emily, open the filing room for him.
This is the filing room?
We're now in a hallway where the walls are rotting away, and there's tree roots hanging from the ceiling, and there is a bunch of grime all over everything. Looks familiar.
Generally not. Imagine.
You're here too, Zach. This might mean we're getting warmer to what we need.
Just a flamethrower.
Hi, Chico.
We then learn some unfortunate facts about the flamethrower after we square up with the cop with the shotgun, and we try and torch him, but he just blasts us. American police force joke here.
Oh shit.
Okay. So the flamethrower is actually not good.
That's what I kind of warned you about. Oh, we also never got medkits.
Well, we're just gone. Just die then.
You should probably switch to something else, buddy.
Yeah, I'm switching. I'm gonna go with the bar for a little bit, just because it's kind of fun.
This is the only piece of media I've ever seen ever where the name for the crowbar weapon is just bar.
Won't you go?
I found dinner.
Yeah, but he's just like laying on the floor. It's unusual. He's drinking water. He's thirsty.
Where is he getting water from?
I put a bowl for him down here when we put him down here last night.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, the extra bowl's handy, hey?
Yeah.
I originally got it to have, like, wet food and dry food kind of deal, but it doesn't actually matter all that much.
Huh. Well, that's the one that I've been using as his water bowl since we got him. Hey, Chico. Oh, is there a keyboard in the way?
You're still missing a vital piece of the puzzle.
That was our initial profiling thing for this level, with all the grainy, staticky images where I couldn't make out anything. It seemed like less total images than the other dungeons, but I don't know if it actually is.
Oh, this looks spooky.
Steve heads upstairs for a minute, and in the meantime, Jess finds the first profiling clue. She takes a look at a set of slide-out filing cabinets and looks across them, and one of them is noticeably scarred and marked up on the front where the lock would be. It says, "This space here looks too conspicuous. Someone removed something." And we get the broken safe profiling clue. We get three images that clear up for us from this clue. We get a close-up view of some of the filing cabinets, and the one that we are looking at is labeled 1956. The next one is an over-the-shoulder shot of the raincoat killer rummaging through the filing cabinet. And then the final one looks like he's punching it or scraping it or something.
I have, like, no idea what to make of that. Hi, Chico. Magnum.
And for, I believe, the first time, we get some .357 Magnum ammo.
I'm back.
Hi.
Anything fun happen?
Not really. We got to, like, a profiling thing, and you can kind of see the guy in the red raincoat, like, breaking into the filing cabinet, but the rest of it, I was kind of like,
We blast a bunch of cops and then run past a shelf with a bunch of binders on it, where we find our second profiling clue.
Dry drops of water.
Tears?
When did his, like, not show up anymore?
I don't know.
Oop. Let's see what we got here.
The image we get out of this one is after the raincoat killer is done fiddling with that filing cabinet, he walks out of the room with something under his arm.
Hmm.
Is the dried water, like, as in it's been recent?
Maybe. So the man in red... Oh, the red raincoat killer, whatever... He, got into the filing cabinet and stole the files. That's it.
Yeah.
We then investigate a super grimy desk and pick up the final profiling clue, the red seed.
The red seed?
Hmm.
Thomas's desk?
Oh, maybe, hey? I have no idea which one's desk. That might be Emily's desk.
Oh, might be.
Isn't that where I picked her up for lunch?
No, she was on the corner on the other side.
Oh.
I think. I don't know. Probably about to show us.
That would kind of make sense in a way.
Emily?
Yeah. This is the one that he has a crush on, and that's, like, super dramatic.
Yeah, I guess so.
Profile starts.
We get the final two images cleared up from this clue, the first of which is the raincoat killer looking through some shelves with a flashlight, and the second is the raincoat killer walking across the floor and he's either dropping some red seeds or just stepping over them.
Look around, but leaving seeds everywhere. Goes to the filing cabinet.
Steals files.
Still stealing files.
Looks like he's angry about it. Carrying the files out of the office. And that's it.
Zach, looks like we need to continue our search for the documents.
So that spooky town level is completed, and we fade out and fade back in George's office.
George, I'll get right to the point. It looks like someone else has just removed the documents I'm looking for.
Huh? Removed?
The cabinet looks like it had been forced open.
That's impossible. No one could break in there.
No. Emily, there is one person that can access that room at any time.
Thomas.
You don't mean Thomas?
It's too early to speculate. And profiling is my job, remember? More importantly, Emily, could you get me a coffee? Fresh one, if possible.
Coffee? At a time like this? Why now?
Emily, please. This is very important. Some coffee. And it brings some milk on the side.
Zack. You know something, don't you? I'm getting a send-off. So tell me what you know.
She's gonna spit in your coffee.
Did she?
Probably not.
Probably should have.
Ah, Zack, this is amazing. Even the taste of her coffee is thrilling, to say the least.
What?
No, nothing.
Is that bad?
This is the cup that Thomas always uses for music.
I'm sorry about that too, then. I just used a cup that was nearby. You have a problem with that?
Problem? Not at all, my dear Emily. The coffee is perfect. Well, okay, taste aside, this is a cup. Sir, it's perfect.
The logo on York's coffee mug reads, Velvet Falls! The big fish are biting at Velvet Falls. Hey, remember, like, 17 episodes ago when I foreshadowed a fishing minigame? Yeah, me neither.
George and Emily, we're going to Velvet Falls. There's something waiting for us there. I can feel it.
Are you joking? You're trusting your cup?
No, Emily. Going to a waterfall just might be a good idea.
Why?
In feng shui, a waterfall is known to be a source of power.
Okay, but what does that have to do with anything?
I'm sure it will give us the power.
Yeah, that's what small town sheriff will be talking about.
All right, I'll go get it.
Fishing? Are you too serious?
George, do the net.
Feel for her.
Yeah, no small town sheriff's gonna respond with it's feng shui. Waterfalls mean power.
Maybe it's some stuff he googled to impress his new city friend.
Maybe. He seems to be all spiritually.
So once we finish mashing through the chapter clear stuff, we end up in a new scene. We're in the wilderness now, in like a gorgeous basin at the base of a waterfall surrounded by trees and mountains.
Oh, just teleports me there. That's nice.
That is a nice change.
Looks nice too.
It does.
Yeah.
Zack, I hope we can catch a big one.
Are we going to find like a plot important detail?
You know what? I joked in the past about like leaving that whole dart scene in or leaving all of the Sigourney driving in, but I think I'm going to leave all this fishing in. Because, you know, fishing's supposed to be relaxing. You're supposed to take your time. You're not supposed to rush through it. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. What do I press to get the roll up, though?
He's already reeling it in.
Oh. What do I do?
I don't know.
Oh. I am confused.
Are you doing anything?
I'm trying.
I think all you can do is... I think it does it automatically, man.
Really?
I think it's waiting for a quick key. I really should have read it.
Yeah. Nah.
What?
I don't know. But I got help. I got some chocolate bars. What?
What?
Okay, I have to describe this UI you see when you successfully catch something. So I think it's like a timing minigame, and there are, how many, like 15 little squares across the bottom of the screen, maybe, and each of them has like a different little item in it. Like there's a fish one, there's like one that's a med pack and some candy, then you have like a old garbage, not a garbage can, like an old tin can, and then like a present, and then there are a few which are just Emily's face, and she looks like shocked and disappointed, and you have to like get the present one is the actual objective. Hey, editor Brett here. The present's not the objective. The present is like a bonus thing, I guess. I don't actually know what it is. I come from the future, but I don't offer much help, unfortunately. Whereas the other stuff is just other stuff you can fish up, I think. It's so bizarre. Like, this game has some weird idiosyncrasies. The fishing UI is absurd.
My food has arrived. But I really want to see what happens.
Oh, but I got a fish, so that's kind of cool.
Fish.
This isn't the time to be fishing for fish.
I'm not trying to. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm guessing it's the surprised Emily face.
I thought it'd be the present.
Could be the present.
I don't even know what button I'm supposed to press, if any. What? Okay. A to throw it in. Says I'm using a rod and a worm. Oh. Oh, maybe I was... That cigarettes?
Good fish, Zach.
Oh.
We've caught something right about now. And in all the history of the FBI, I'm probably the only one who fished out documents thrown into a waterfall. Don't you think so, Zach?
I just don't believe it. Files from a waterfall.
She's gonna fucking... lose it before this case is over.
Yeah, just like,
and there's something insulting about it. Like, she had someone smushed right in front of her with the arm that would not let go, and now there's just documents in a waterfall.
York, Emily, and George are standing on the beach looking at the files, and each page reads something different. 1. For eternal life and eternal power, make 4 human sacrifices on rainy nights, each after eating the seeds. 2. Make sure the sacrificed eat the seeds too before they die. 3. The sacrificed must also not speak while they are being killed.
What does that mean?
It's called the legend of the new raincoat killer. George, have you ever seen this handwriting?
Yes.
It's Thomas's. George, I need to take these documents to Harry. He said he'd tell me everything once I take the docs to him.
But those are classified. I can't allow a civilian to view them. Especially that deranged old goat who owns most of the town.
I agree with George. Harry is... how can I put it? He might be dangerous.
You don't need to worry. You said it yourselves, didn't you? There's never been a mass murder case in this town, and these documents pertain to a case that never actually happened. Just look at it as though they never actually existed either.
Ridiculous.
You're some pretty fucking
got a plan or something in mind? Okay. You have my approval.
George, are you sure?
I thought the documents that were stolen were of the old case.
Yeah.
Our search may just become hot.
Yes, get on it. I'll go see Harry alone.
Okay.
I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't seen it for myself. But Thomas?
There's got to be a rational explanation for this.
Zach, George has started to change. I think the deaths of Becky and Diane had a deep effect on him.
No shit.
I guess this town truly is without a king now.
Wasn't the whole king thing because his name is George and it's like, oh, there was a king named George?
I have no idea.
Because if that's the case, there was also a king named Harry.
Yeah.
All right. My food arrived. Ow. Our food arrived.
Let's meet Harry on a visit and get to the bottom of all this. I have to admit, I do like spending a bit of time investigating a lot. Getting a bit sick of being told you're too slow or too fast. You agree?
That's fair. Like, I get that, like, his deal is, like, he's, like, hyper genius, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess that, like, his methods to him make perfect sense. But, like, explaining them probably has to suck.
And everyone else is just slowing him down?
Yeah!
We get our food and drive over to Harry's.
Mr. Francis York Morgan, finally you have arrived. You are welcome to come inside.
Why do they make you get out of your car every time?
I don't know.
Should just be able to lean out the window and wave.
We fade out and fade back in inside the mansion, and all the lights are off, and there is a bit of a foreboding atmosphere.
Looks like the next game is hide and seek. Huh?
Aww. Can we save and start this after eating?
Yeah. There it is.
That was episode 19 of Deadly Premonition. We got a cool-ass flamethrower, learned that the cool-ass flamethrower kind of sucks. We discovered the Grove of Red Trees in the graveyard. We learned about the serial killing spree that happened in Greenvale 50 years ago. And we discovered that the raincoat killer had stolen some files from the police department, and then we fished those files out of a waterfall. On those files were notes about using the red seeds in murder rituals to gain immortality, and the handwriting of those notes was none other than our missing officer, Thomas. Next week, we're going to start off by doing our third pass through Harry's spooky mansion. Hopefully there's no statue puzzles this time. We're not quite in the home stretch of Deadly Premonition yet, but it feels like we're accelerating. That's all I got for this week. Stay safe, go fish, and I love you. Goodbye.